We're turning your Bibles to Acts chapter 12. We're continuing, of course, our study of the book of Acts, which is really the first century church. It covers about the first 30 years of the church, written by Luke. It starts around 30 to 32 A.D. and goes to about 64. It starts with the death and resurrection of Christ and then goes with Paul being in prison in Rome. We see the spread of the message, the good news. It begins in Jerusalem and then Judea and Samaria and then to the, what's known as the uttermost parts of the world. We see it going to the Gentiles. We see it going to the Jews, then the Samaritans, and then even to the Gentiles. Up to this point in our study, Peter has been the leader. Peter's the man. He's the apostle to the Jews. But beginning this morning, there's going to be a change. Paul's going to take the lead. Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. So today, as we look at chapter, basically into chapter 12 and the beginning of chapter 13, we're going to see the first missionary journey of Paul is recorded by Luke. I mean, I love the book of Acts because you see these first seven chapters and everything in Jerusalem, and then 8 through 12 and everything in Judea and Samaria and a little other places. And then from 13 to 28, Paul goes on three missionary journeys over what is the known world. We're going to show you maps. We're going to show you where they went. We're going to show you the cities they went to. We're going to go right along with the passages, and we're going to see great truths there. So this is Paul's first missionary journey starting really today. We got to get through chapter 12 because there's a thing that ends chapter 12, which is a little bit shocking. If you've already read it, you know, you'll see it. It's a little bit shocking what happens at the end of chapter 12. Let me raise some questions as we look at the passage this morning. When we serve God, who's supposed to get the glory? I think every one of us in the room already know the answer to that one, but we're going to see what happens in our passage. Are all believers called? What does this mean? Because the Holy Spirit says, set apart Saul and Barnabas for a ministry that I have for them, that he's called them to do. Well, what about us? Are we called? What are we talking about? We'll see that. And then how does Paul deal with this false prophet? Look at this guy's name. It's Bar-Jesus. The word Bar means son. His name really means son of Jesus. This is a false prophet. How does Paul deal with this man? So we're going to see it as we go through the passage. We'll go fairly quickly. We'll start at the end of chapter 12. We didn't have scripture reading, but the end of chapter 12, beginning about, Acts 20 is where we're going to get into it, but we'll probably go back to 18, and then we'll go through chapter 13, verse 12. That's how we'll look at it this morning. Well, let's start with something that we know. At Stillwater Bible Church, we have a purpose, a plan, and a process. Our purpose is to make disciples. That's evangelism and training, leading people to Christ and then training them and equipping them. We have a plan. The plan is to equip the believers to do the ministry so the body can grow. And then we have a process. We call it gathered and scattered. I mentioned it earlier. We gather for worship and training. We scatter for evangelism and service. We think about that as a church, and then we think about each of us. And we think about calling, our calling. And has God called us into ministry? What about that? Sometimes we talk about pastors, and we say, oh yeah, pastor, you called in the ministry of that. But what about believers? Are we called? Think about us. We're called in a number of ways. First of all, I want you to just see this quickly. We're called into a relationship with Jesus Christ. We were dead in trespasses and sins. The Holy Spirit convicted us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. We understood and we believed in Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we were called out of a fallen world into a relationship with Christ. We're called saints. That's what he calls us. So we're called to work, walk worthy of our calling. So that's. But there's a second thing. We're called into ministry. All believers are in ministry. We call it the ministry of reconciliation. I think I have it up here. It's called the Ministry of Reconciliation. It's found in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 and 19. We give out the word of reconciliation or the ministry of reconciliation, which means as we go into this community, we tell people how the perfect God has reconciled man to himself through Jesus Christ. We call that the story of the Bible. Perfect God brings sinful man back to himself using his son, Jesus Christ. That's reconciliation. We all have the ministry of reconciliation. So if somebody asked you, are you in the ministry? You say, oh yeah, I'm in the ministry. I have the ministry of reconciliation. As we look at our passage this morning, and the reason I just brought that up is because we're going to see that Paul and Barnabas, or Saul and Barnabas at that time, are called. They're separated out for a ministry that God has for them. And a question you might think is, what is the ministry or ministries that God has for you? And so as believers, it's pretty exciting to think about it. Let's remember where we are. We're moving into the third section of the book. If you remember in Acts chapters 1 through 7, that on the ministry and the spreading of the messages in Jerusalem. And in 8 through 12, it's Judea, Samaria. Beginning in chapter 13 through the end of the book, we're going to see what he calls to the end of the earth. We're going to the known world, and we're going to show you where that is because we've got some maps and things like that. The word of God is going out. Now, the last several weeks, we saw that some people left Jerusalem, they left Caesarea, they left some other places, and they went to a city called Antioch, and Antioch is in Syria. Let me show you the map, and I have this. I have this little deal right here. Look at this. Okay, and so here was Jerusalem, and here's Caesarea, and here is this city called Antioch. It's in Phoenicia. Northern part of Phoenicia is actually in Syria, what was called Syria at that time. Here's Sidon and Tyre, those cities that you've heard of. And so people had left. Some people had even come over from Cyprus, and people were starting to trust Christ right there. So Barnabas left Jerusalem and went up there, and then he went over to Tarsus and got Saul, who we call Paul, and brought him back here. And so for a whole year, they've been doing ministry there. We saw that several weeks ago. And last week, the Bible had talked about that. Then it took us back to Jerusalem, and we saw where Peter was put into prison, James was killed, and then we saw how Peter was, an angel came and released Peter from being in jail, because this man named Herod Agrippa the First was planning to kill Peter. He'd already killed James. He was going to kill Peter. Angel came, got him out of jail, got Peter out, door opened by itself, just went out, and saved Peter's life. But here's how we ended last time. When that next morning came and Peter was gone, Herod came to say, "Hey, where's Peter? We're going to kill him today." And they went, "We don't know what happened to him. He was here when we all went to sleep, and we were chained to him." And so this morning we're going to see that. Let me give you that sort of the outline of our passage this morning. We're going to see the very end, how God deals with this man named Herod. We see Herod's speech and Herod's death. And then we're going to see the ministry of Saul and Barnabas, how they grow and they go back to Antioch. And then we'll start chapter 13, and we're just going to see, go to the next slide. We're just going to see the first 13 verses, or verse 12 verses, where the ministry is, they get up there, and there's the calling of Barnabas and Saul, and they go to Cyprus. So we're going to start the first missionary journey this morning. So get ready. I hope you got your traveling clothes on, because we're fishing to travel. We're fishing to see what happens. The Word of God is going to spread to different places, and we're going to see what happens. Let's think about this man named Herod. You may have heard of Herod before. You've heard of Herod the Great. This is the grandson of Herod the Great. Herod the Great was the man who was the wicked king who killed all the boy babies when Jesus was born. This is his grandson. He's an evil man. He's called Herod Agrippa the First, and he tried to get in good. He ruled that part of the world, and he tried to get in good with Jewish people. If you remember, when he found out that the Jewish people were glad when James got killed, he also arrested Peter and was going to kill him too. He wanted to stay on the good side of the Jewish people. But as we look at what happened, we see that there's a great truth from the scripture, and it is this: God gets all the glory. We come together on a Sunday morning. Why are we here? To worship Jesus Christ, who gets all the glory. When we sing our songs, we're singing them to Jesus and about Jesus. When you give, it's an act of worship and your response to love to Jesus. When we study the scripture and make application, it's saying we're going to take these truths and we're going to live for our Savior Jesus. When we pray, we're praying to our Savior Jesus. So everything's about him. He gets all the glory. Well, we're going to see this morning that this man named Herod, he doesn't give God glory. And even though he's not even a believer, watch what happens. Look at verse 18 of Acts chapter 12. Now when the day came, this is after Peter got out. When the day came, there was no small disturbance among the soldiers as to what could have become of Peter. They didn't know what happened. When Herod had searched for him, this is Herod Agrippa, when he had searched for him and he had not found him, he examined the guards and ordered they be led away to execution. We ended with this last week. He actually had those guards killed because nobody could figure out what happened to Peter. Then he went down from Judea to Caesarea and was spending time there. Now, on that map, we showed you that he had gone to Caesarea. I think, is there another map? Yeah, there it is. He left Jerusalem and he went to Caesarea. That's the headquarters. Jerusalem was not the headquarters for the Romans. Caesarea was the headquarters for the Romans. This city, Antioch, is the third or fourth largest city in the whole Roman world. 300,000 to 500,000 people there. Caesarea is the Roman province. This is where the Roman leaders live. They come to Jerusalem only when they have to, because they don't like them. And so here is Herod Agrippa back to Caesarea. Now watch what happens. Just keep the map there for just a second and look at verse 20. Now he, Herod Agrippa, was very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, and with one accord they came to him, having won over Blastus, the king's chamberlain. They were asking for peace because their country was fed by the king's country. Now, Herod Agrippa ruled this part of the world, and these two cities, he got angry at these two cities. He cut off their food supply. And so they're in trouble. And so it says they won over a guy named Blasphemous, who was the king's chamberlain. That means an advisor. They made friends with King Agrippa's advisor and said, "Tell the king we need food. We need to meet with him." And so they had gone to Caesarea to meet with King Agrippa. This is going to be the plan. Now you may be wondering, why is this in the scripture? I think the idea is here. We've already seen that this evil man killed James. He wanted to kill Peter. He would do anything it would to stop the message of Jesus Christ, because he didn't care anything about Christians. He just wants the Jews to be okay. And we're going to see how evil he is and watch what God does. Notice verse 21. On an appointed day, Herod, having put on his royal apparel, took his seat on the rostrum and began delivering an address to them. The people from Tyre and Sidon came to hear King Agrippa talk. He got up like this. He had on royal robes. Now, we've got from history a guy by the name of Josephus. He wrote Jewish history, and he says that Agrippa came out that day in the sunlight wearing a silver robe that sparkled, that gleamed, that shined in the sunlight. And as he came out, the people went, oh, Agrippa, you're so wonderful. And as he began to speak, the people began to cry out in verse 22, "He's the voice of a God and not of the man." What they were really saying is, Agrippa, you're God. You're God. And what Agrippa did was this: "You're right. I am a God." And look what happened. And immediately, an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give God the glory and was eaten by worms and died. He didn't give God the glory. Look at verse 23. Let me say something to you. Josephus writes about this. He said that as Agrippa began to speak and the people began to shout, "You're a God, you're a God, you're a God," suddenly he began to have these pains in his stomach, and he got bent over and he couldn't finish the speech, and they took him out, and 5 days later he died. The Bible tells us what happened. It says an angel struck him because he did not give God glory, and he was eaten by worms and died. So let me tell you, if you ever doubt whether you should give God the glory, let me tell you this. Be sure and give him the glory, because we know, look at what he does here. An angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms and died. Think about our lives. There's so many things that God does for us, so many things that he does to us and through us and for us. Can we ever glory in anything? I want to show you something. Can we glory in anything? Can we glory in who we are? No. He created us. Can we glory in what we can do? No. He gave us the power and ability. Can we even glory in our salvation? No. He did it all. Can we glory in our Christian life? No. He does it all through us. Can we glory if we stand and he says, "Well done, good and faithful service," and gives rewards? No. Because he's the one that did it through us. Listen, we don't get glory. He gets all the glory. If you do something and somebody comes up to you and says, "Man, that is a great job," just say, "Grace be to God. God's so gracious." Every Sunday, I get to teach the Bible. It is the grace of God. I get to teach the Bible. It's not me. I say, "Thank you, Lord. You get all the glory." Josephus said immediately while he delivered his speech, he started with these stomach pains. They had to carry him away. And 5 days later, he died. Psalm 115:1 says, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name, give all the glory because of your loving kindness and because of your truth." In our lives, God always gets the glory. Now look how he ends this part right here. "But the word of the Lord continued to grow and to be multiplied." Isn't that a great truth? The word of the Lord continued to grow. Even when James was killed, Peter got released, there's persecution everywhere, God's message is spreading. Now, wouldn't we like to say that the word of the Lord is spreading in our community? How's that going to happen? It's going to happen as you go out these doors, as we go out these doors, and we share our faith with people. We go out and we look for opportunities. We realize we're here to make disciples, which is evangelism training, leading people to Christ and training and equipping them. It's only going to happen when we do it. We can't sit around and say, "Well, somebody else is going to do it." No, we're going to do it for the word of the Lord. It says the word of the Lord continued to grow and be multiplied. Look, persecution can't stop the church. cannot stop the church. Now watch this. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their mission, taking along with them John, who was also called Mark. Now remember, Barnabas and Saul had been in Antioch for a year teaching the Bible. They came down to Jerusalem because the word had been sent out that there was going to be a famine. And so they took up an offering to take to the people in Jerusalem. And so Saul and Barnabas came down there and they gave money to the elders in the church of Jerusalem so they'd be taken care of. And if you remember, when Peter got out of prison that night, he went to a house, a lady's name, if you remember, Mary, and she was the mother of a man named John Mark. Notice this. They went on their mission. They went back to Antioch, and they took with them John, who is called Mark. You may wonder who this guy is. If you remember the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, this is the Mark who wrote the Gospel of John. He was close with Peter. He's close with Paul. You're going to see him. He's close with Barnabas. In fact, he's a relative of Barnabas. And we'll see what happens. Now, here's the change. Remember the slide? First chapters 1 through 7, Jerusalem. Chapters 8 through 12, Judea, Samaria. Chapters 13 through 28, the end of the earth. We're moving to the final section of the book of Acts. And we're going from Peter and his ministry to Jews to Paul and his ministry to the Gentiles. Paul becomes the leader. Now, at this point, we haven't got to it yet. He's going to become the leader, and they go to Antioch. Let's put the map up again one more time. I think is where, if you got it, they're going to leave here, and they're going to go all the way back to Antioch. Remember, it's a huge city at that time, maybe the third or fourth largest city in all of the Roman Empire. And they're back there, and they're leading people to Christ, and people are growing as believers. They're teaching them. It's just an amazing ministry. Now, watch what happens while they're there. Chapter 13, verse 1. Now, there were at Antioch, in the church that was there, prophets and teachers, and they begin to list people. Barnabas, Simeon, who's called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Mahan, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. They list a bunch of names of people. And what we see is Antioch, the city, I think the next slide, is Antioch is going to become the missionary church. From this one city, the message is going to spread all over because God's going to take Paul, Saul, and Barnabas, and he's going to use them, and we're going to see what happens. Notice he starts by listing Barnabas first. Saul is listed last. That's because he was the last one to go help them. They've been teaching there for about a year. Watch what happens. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." While they're ministering, while they're serving, while they're teaching people, while they're doing ministry, God, the Holy Spirit, comes and actually gives them some kind of revelation. They were prophets there, and said, "Set apart Barnabas and Saul. I have something that I've called them to do." See, I want you to understand, they weren't just sitting around saying, "I wish God would use me somehow. I wish God would take me and let me do something." They're already ministering. They're already serving, and they're making disciples, and they're leading people to Christ, and they're training them. But he says, "Set apart these two men. Set apart these two men." There was a special work, I think, is a way we could look at it. God had a special work for these men. They're fixing to do this. This goes back. If you remember, we saw Paul, trust Christ on the road to Damascus back in Acts chapter 9. And listen to this. I think I have it. This is what God told Paul then, or Saul then. The Lord said to him, he's writing to another guy to tell him what to tell Paul. "For he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake." Paul was set apart to go to the Gentiles and to the Jews, but primarily Gentiles, with the message of Jesus Christ. God is setting him apart, and Barnabas, and he's saying, "I'm sending you out." We've seen this thing happen. You remember Rachel? Y'all remember the very first of school year, there was this little girl named Rachel Essinger, and she's going to Ethiopia, and we brought her up right there, and she's been sent out from our church by the grace of God. She's going to Ethiopia to lead people to Christ and help train and equip them. And we say, we are sending her out. We had a prayer for her. Watch what they do. When they had fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Listen, when you think about it, they were called. We've been called. Let me show you something that you're going to love. We're called, first of all, salvation. He calls us into a relationship, 1 Corinthians and Galatians. Second, we're called, if you look, to a righteous lifestyle. We're called saints. We're called children of God. We're called to walk worthy the calling which we've been called. The third thing we're called is into service for God. 1 Corinthians 4:2. It is required of stewards to be faithful. Acts 16:10. Serve the living God. And so what we realize is we're called into a relationship. We're called into a lifestyle. We are called to make disciples. So if you said, I'm a Christian, but I don't have anything to do. Yes, you do. You're called into a relationship with Christ. You're called to be a disciple. You're called to make disciples. You're called to go into this world with the greatest message of all. So they fasted and prayed and sent them away. There are no Lone Ranger Christians, by the way. You don't just do your own ministry. You don't do your own ministry. We're all connected together, and we're all in the body of Christ. Well, watch what happens. Let me show you something. Let's throw the map up there again. They leave Antioch. They go down to a place called Seleucia, which is on the port, and they get on a ship, and they go across to Cyprus. Now, the reason they went to Cyprus first is because Barnabas was from Cyprus. So they land at a place called Salamis, which was the main city. And then they go across the island to all these different synagogues, and they end up in a city called Paphos, where the Roman leader is. And this is what we're going to see this morning. What's going to happen eventually is they're going to leave here and go up into this part of the world. But this is where they are now. They're going to get on a boat right there, go to right there, and end up right there. Let's see what happens as they take the message. Look at verse 4. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, that's that city, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. So they go to Cyprus. Now, watch what happens. When they reach Salamis, they begin to proclaim the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they also had John as their helper. Now, look what they did. They preached the word of God. And they went to the synagogues. Why would they go to the synagogues? Because Paul said, the gospel, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, it's the power of God's salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So he would always go to the synagogues where the Jewish people are, and he would tell them about Jesus Christ as Messiah and Savior. What mostly happened is the Jewish people would say, we don't believe that. And he'd say, okay. And then he went to the Gentiles, and mostly Gentiles would say, we believe that. And so he would go to the Jew first and then to the Greek. So he goes to this island and he goes through the synagogues, and they had John as their helper. John Mark's with them. Wow. Now, the best that we can tell, John Mark's a young man. And he's with Saul, Paul, and he's with Barnabas. And he may have gotten into something more than he's ever realized. I mean, going on this missionary trip is not going on a cruise. It's not going on a vacation. It's not going to just be fun. This is going to risk their lives. So watch what happens. When they had gone through the whole island as far as Paphos, they found a magician, a Jewish false prophet whose name was Bar-Jesus. Listen, they came across the island. They got almost to the main city, and they found this man named Bar-Jesus. Now, the name Bar-Jesus means sons of Jesus. It is amazing that the first opposition that they're going to find is a person named son of Jesus. Think about that. Because they're representing the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and now they find this guy whose name is Son of Jesus. He is an evil man. Notice what it says. He was a Jewish false prophet. That means he would tell things, and it wasn't true. It wasn't right. Notice, who was with a proconsul. Proconsul is a Roman ruler. His name was Sergio Paulus. Notice, a man of intelligence. This man summoned Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. Now, this man is amazing. He wants to hear the Bible. He hears they're going through the island. He hears people talking about this Jesus and everything. So he says, I want to see this man named Saul and Barnabas. Bring them to me. I want to see them. Now, this Bar-Jesus guy worked with this Roman leader. He doesn't want his leader to hear from Paul and Barnabas. So he's going to stop them. He's going to say, you don't want to hear this. Oh, no, these guys aren't right. Watch what happens. He was with the proconsul, Sergio Paulus, a man of intelligence. This man summoned Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, that's his nickname, the magician, for that's what his name means. His name means magician, was opposing them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. You hear what he just said? He doesn't want this guy to hear the truth about Jesus Christ and trust in Christ as Savior, so he opposes them, seeking to turn him away from the faith. Have you ever talked to somebody and somebody else is trying to say, hey, don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. That's just religion. This is what we got here. And by the way, there's going to always be opposition to the truth of the gospel in the Bible. Why? Because we're in a fallen world. You have a fallen enemy. When you go out these doors, you think it's going to be easy? That's why you got to have each other. That's why we go out together. That's why we pray for one another. That's why we build up one another. Because when we go out in this world, it's not going to be easy because it's a fallen world and there's opposition to the truth. So look what happened. Elymas the magician, for whom his name is translated, was opposing him, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Watch what happened. But Saul, who is also known as Paul, now from this point on, he's never called Saul again. He's called Paul for the rest of his life. Saul was a Jewish name. Paul is a Roman name. And what we think is this. When he's dealing with the Jews, he went by Saul. When now he's going to the Gentiles, he goes by Paul. And he's ready to go. Look what it says. But Saul, who was also known as Paul, was filled with the Holy Spirit. He fixed his gaze on him and said, he looked right at this man and said, you are full of all deceit and fraud. You are a son of the devil. You are an enemy of all righteousness. Will you not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord? Now, I'm sorry that Paul sugarcoated it. You know, he was so nice to this man. But he wasn't, was he? There's an idea here. In God's power, we must tell the truth and we must stand against evil. You're going to have to do it. You're going to have to tell the truth. When people tell people that you have to be good to go to heaven, you're going to have to tell the truth and say, no, that's wrong. It's faith alone in Christ alone. When people say the Bible's not accurate, you're going to say, yes, it is. The Bible is God's word. You're going to have to stand for what is right and what is truth. Notice what he says, this man. He says, you're full of deceit. You're a con man. You're fraud. You're a son of the devil. He says, you like the devil. You're an enemy of righteousness. See, righteousness comes by faith. Let me tell you what. The devil says this. The devil says righteousness comes by good, being good. God says righteousness comes by faith. The devil says if you do good, God will love you. The Bible says you can't do good and God already loves you. Where did this whole lie come up that people can do good to go to heaven? There's no place in the Scripture ever been that a person does good works to go to heaven. The Scripture teaches exactly the opposite. But if we go into this world, we'll talk to people and so many people say, well, you just try to live a good life or be good. That is a lie of the devil. And this is what this man's filled with. And he's trying to stop the proconsul from hearing the truth. And Paul says, you're full of deceit, you're fraud, you're son of the devil, you're enemy of righteousness. You're trying to make crooked what's straight from God. And look what he does. Now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind, and you will not see the sun for a time. And immediately a mist and darkness fell upon him, and he went about seeking those who would lead him by the hand. Suddenly he goes blind. Does that sound familiar to you? What happened to Saul on the road to Damascus? He's blind. He says to this man, God is going to be gracious to you. He's going to blind you for a season. He said, you're already spiritually blind. I'm going to make you physically blind. Maybe this guy will stop and think about what he's doing when he's blind. God judges this wickedness. And watch what happened. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had happened, being amazed at what? At the teaching of the Lord. Listen, he saw this, but it wasn't just what happened to Elymas, but it was the teaching of the word, the truth, that he believed. He didn't just believe because he saw a miracle. He believed because the truth of the word of God. That's why when we go out into this community, we go with the message of Jesus Christ from the word of God. It is so powerful. Can you imagine going on that island, going across, meeting this guy who's this false prophet, and as the proconsul says, I want to meet with these two guys, and when they come in, this guy tries to stop the whole thing, and Saul, who is called Paul, says, you're son of the devil, you're not going to be able to see, and he's blind. And the proconsul goes, whoa, now that's some power. And he heard the word of the Lord, and he believed at the teaching of the Lord. Wow. What is the message? Jesus Christ died and rose again, and all who believe in him will never perish but have what? Eternal life. It's that simple. Let me show you the map one more time. They're going to leave here, Palpus, and they're going to go up to Derbe. They're going to go right here, and John Mark's going to leave and go back home. And then they're going to go to Antioch, and then they go to Iconium and Lystra and Derbe, and then they're going to go back to Antioch, and then they're going to come back home. and they're going to report. That's the first missionary journey. If you want to read ahead, read Acts chapter 13. Paul goes into this Antioch. Be careful, there are two Antiochs. This is Antioch in Syria. This is Antioch in called Antioch Pisidia. And this is modern-day Turkey. It's called Asia Minor. Notice these churches, Ephesus, Miletus. All, these are the churches. This is where the seven churches in the book of Revelation, this is where they were from. But here's Paul. This is called Galatia. When you study the Bible and you read the book Galatians, that's the people that Paul wrote the letter to the Galatians to, this section of people right here. We'll see that in the weeks to come. Herod dies because he didn't give glory to God. God separates Paul and Saul and Barnabas, and they go to Cyprus, and they meet Bar-Jesus and Sergio Paulus, and Saul, who's called Paul, stands strong, blinds the guy, and Sergio Paulus believes in Jesus Christ as Savior. Let me give you some applications, okay? First of all, let's give all glory to God, not to self. Psalm 115:1, all glory goes to God. Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gets all the glory. Just remember that. He gets all the glory. Second, fulfill your calling from God, whatever that may be. And think about this. It is for sure that we all have the ministry of reconciliation. We all get to tell people how God has reconciled the world to himself through Jesus Christ. We get to tell them that. And here's another thing. Expect opposition. Expect opposition. Let me tell you the saddest thing of all. Some of your opposition will be other Christians. A lot of opposition will be a fallen world. Some of your opposition will be Christians who don't hold to the grace message of salvation. And they will argue with people, telling them that it is more than faith in Christ. So as you go out with this great message of reconciliation, expect some opposition. The third thing, and this is key, proclaim clearly the grace message of salvation simply by faith in Jesus Christ. A great truth is this, there will be those open to the truth. There'll be people you talk to that will be open to the truth of the Word of God. Give them the message. But also, there'll be those who are in opposition to the truth. You're going to have to stand strong. You're going to have to do what Paul did. You're going to have to tell the truth. You're going to have to stand for what is right. That time is coming. We are in a battle. This is not a game. This is not just fun. It's not a country club. It is a battle. We're here preparing ourselves to go into a fallen world with the greatest message that's ever been given. And we want to see people know Christ and be delivered from darkness into light and being children of God. And we're in a battle. And if we don't think that, we're just going to drift through life. But if we realize what we're doing, we're going to get trained and equipped. And we're going out these doors to make an impact for Jesus Christ. We have to do that. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who does what? Believes. Romans 4:5, to him who does not work but believes. Galatians 3:26, we're children of God by faith. Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. That's our message.